Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Well, I think it's pretty scary just because thousands of people walk by that every day. So, I mean, it could happen to anybody.
A USC student killed at a campus crosswalk. Police step up their search for the killer. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, March 31st, 2009. I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins. They won't stop until they're off the chopping block. Today, the board contemplates its final decision on layoffs. Superintendent Ramon Cortinez now says if the board doesn't go along with the plan, he's prepared to quit. More than 8,000 district employees, including thousands of teachers, are set to be laid off. Many of them gathered outside the meeting to challenge the layoffs.
Let us in! Let us in! Let us in! Let us in!
Parents and students are joining the protest, too. Our Beth Palkovic is at the school's district headquarters with the latest. Beth?
That's right, Brooke Sydney. Today was supposed to be decision day for the Board of Education on whether or not to approve Superintendent Ramon Cortinez's plan. His plan would have cut 8,500 jobs in the LAUSD in an effort to make up for the school district's $700 million budget deficit. And to protest that, there were teachers, parents, UTLA members shouting, as you just heard, basically in a last-ditch effort to save their schools, as they were shouting, save our schools, save our schools. And it appears that these concerns were heard by the board. Several board members, including board member Lamott and Korenstein, asked Superintendent Cortinez to consider delays, extensions, to consider reworking the numbers, to even consider furloughs, any other options. The latest addition to what happened is Ramon Cortinez did speak and said that he would approve a two-week delay. So on April 14th, the board is supposed to convene again. That's what he is recommending. But as of right now, they haven't made an official decision. But since Cortinez said that's what he said, it's looking like April 14th will be the day.
Beth, how many people are gathered there?
There were hundreds of people. I would say about at least 100 people. The room that the board was meeting in was packed. Outside, you could hear people saying "Save our schools." There were signs. They were marching. It's clearly, whenever education's involved, it's definitely an emotional issue. So people care about this. I guess the most emotional thing I heard, there was a teacher crying, a parent crying to the board, saying, "How can you do this to our children?" There was a young girl, 7-year-old girl named Marky Metzelar, wearing a USC jersey, Mark Sanchez jersey, saying that she said, "How can I ever go to USC when I'm older if you cut my education?" So it was definitely an exciting, anxious environment.
Thanks, Beth, for the update.
Thanks.
LAUSD now faces a future with fewer teachers and larger class sizes, but how teachers will be paid remains a major challenge. Richie Duchon reports a conference taking place today is looking for answers.
In a conference room on USC's campus, a group of teachers, administrators, and school board members are discussing how to change the way teacher salaries are determined. Speakers from school districts in New York, Denver, and Minneapolis are here to talk about how they're reforming teacher pay systems in their districts. David Plank is the executive director of policy analysis for California Education. He helped organize the conference. Plank says talking about how teachers are paid might help LAUSD going forward.
On the one hand, it's a very difficult day to have this conversation, to talk about doing things differently when we're doing so badly at the things we do now. On the other hand, as people often say, a crisis presents an opportunity.
Plank says it's time to think about a pay system for teachers that considers more than just years of experience. He says it's more important to pay teachers in a way that attracts the most qualified teachers to the most difficult schools and provides incentives for teachers to focus on struggling students. Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
The Environmental Protection Agency will test the air around 62 schools in 22 states for toxic contaminants. the EPA will monitor the outdoor air around schools that are near heavily polluted or industrial areas. On the list is Soto Street Elementary in East Los Angeles. It sits at the intersection of three major freeways. The EPA will test for toxins that have been linked to cancer and other respiratory and neurological problems. Ian McMillan is a consultant with the Office of Environmental Health and Safety. He says that these toxins could have a greater effect on children.
Because they're growing, their organs are still developing, the toxicity of some of these pollutants might be more, it might be more toxic for children than, say, for adults.
Testing on some schools begins immediately and continues through the next 3 months. The 26th district special election cost taxpayers millions of dollars, and we still don't know who won. Jessica Connor explains a proposal that would put an end to wasteful special elections.
The election to fill the empty 26th District State Senate seat cost taxpayers more than $2 million. Turns out voters will have to return in May for a runoff election because no candidate got the majority vote required to win. That's why L.A. County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, the former 26th District Senator, recommended the L.A. County Clerk look into cheaper voting systems. He suggested one viable alternative at today's meeting at the Board of Supervisors.
Instant runoff voting is a more efficient way to expedite the democratic process.
Instant runoff voting allows voters to rank their preferences by number. The candidate with the least first-place votes would be eliminated. The second choices of those votes would then be redistributed until one person wins a majority. This system would only require one election.
We currently have a lot of runoff or second-round elections that cost a lot of money and that very few people vote in.
Gautam Duda is with the Public Policy Institute New American Foundation. He has worked with the county on election reform.
Let's just have one election and let's make it easier for people and elect a majority winner all in one fell swoop.
The LA County Clerk is to report on its findings during the May 12th supervisors meeting. Jessica Connor, Annenberg Radio News.
How many rape kits remain untested in Los Angeles? A new report suggests it may be more than you think, but city officials disagree. Tonight we're looking at mostly clear skies with lows in the mid-50s. Wednesday will be partly cloudy but warm with highs in the low 70s and lows in the mid-50s. The warm weather will continue on Thursday with a partly cloudy day and highs in the upper 60s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, the city remembers an honored hero, Cesar Chavez. The driver that hit two USC students, killing one, is still on the loose. Marie Cunningham has the latest on the search for the killer.
Every day, thousands of students cross the street at the busy intersection of Jefferson and Hoover. Some are on foot, others ride bicycles and skateboards. Most are lugging backpacks and laptops while hurrying to class. But today, these students will likely slow down and notice a new addition to the intersection. A makeshift memorial in honor of Adriana Bakken. The USC freshman was killed at the dangerous crossing by a hit-and-run driver this weekend. The incident has shocked the USC community, including student Kelly O'Donnell.
Wow, I don't know. I think it's really messed up of the guy that did it. I don't know. The fact that it was hit-and-run is, I can't even believe what would go through someone's head.
Bakken's companion, fellow USC freshman Marcus Garfinkel, was hit by the car and sustained serious injuries. Today, the County Board of Supervisors unanimously approved a $10,000 reward for the arrest and conviction of those responsible for the crime. The motion was sponsored by Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas.
We then established this reward in the amount of $10,000 in return for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the persons responsible for the hit-and-run death of Adriana Bakum and what is being characterized as the attempted murder of Marcus Garfinkel, who at this moment holds on to dear life.
Bakken and Garfinkel were hit at the Jefferson and Hoover crosswalk at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. The driver allegedly ran a red light at the intersection, striking and killing Bakken. The suspect then drove off with Garfinkel still on the vehicle's hood. Witnesses say that the vehicle stopped after driving about 500 feet so that a passenger could get out of the car and remove Garfinkel's body. Both the driver and passenger then fled the scene. Marie Cunningham, Annenberg Radio News.
The proposed teacher layoffs have had educators, students, and parents on edge for weeks. Last night, a group gathered at a community forum in South Los Angeles to discuss ways to protest teacher layoffs and budget cuts. Emily Henry reports.
Are we charged and ready to go? They are bargaining with your kids' lives daily in Sacramento, in Washington, D.C. We are going to stop that.
Monday night at the Baha'i Faith Center in Baldwin Park, students, parents, and teachers were on their feet and planning their next move.
I need you to have conversations with the people that you talk to every day, that education cannot be bargained with on the Senate or the Assembly floor.
Pasted along the walls were the names of local...
That education cannot...
...local teachers recently issued layoff notices from the LAUSD. Of the almost 9,000 pink slips delivered across the county, the layoffs are accompanied by $11 billion of budget cuts. That's the largest slashing of education funds in California history. Families and educators are concerned that the schools and students most in need of support will be hardest hit. Teachers from Dorsey, Crenshaw, and other local schools approached the microphone to have their say.
It hits most the schools that have already been hit for decades, generations. The schools that have the highest turnover, that have the most new teachers, that have the highest dropouts and the lowest test scores, those are the schools that are going to lose the most teachers.
Students, too, made sure their voices were heard.
This, in turn, will make the quality of education suffer. Teachers will have a harder time giving attention to each of their students. I know firsthand that my teachers have a really hard time getting to every student and giving them the help they need.
Rallying together, teachers and community leaders encouraged parents and students to get involved with marches and protests in the coming months. But first, there were phone calls to be made to LAUSD board member Marguerite Lamotte, who abstained from the vote to lay off teachers.
She didn't say, I'm standing up for education. We can push her. We can push her if we call.
Then on April 20th, the United Teachers Union is planning what some are calling a march on Lamotte.
Say it out loud again.
We voted for her so she can vote for us.
On May 8th, leaders are proposing a full-scale teacher strike to shut down the district. Meanwhile, students have been organizing their own sit-ins and walkouts throughout schools in South Los Angeles. Elementary school teacher Carol Connor says that the cuts and layoffs violate the 14th Amendment rights of the students.
The 14th Amendment guarantees equal access to quality education, a fair and equitable one.
So when we get ready to go out in the streets, I want you to have your marching boots on.
The group here at the Baha'i Faith Center are ready to spill onto the streets of Los Angeles in the coming weeks, whether or not the city is ready for it. Emily Henry.
Today is Cesar Chavez Day. Janelle Burdett has more on the holiday honoring the labor rights leader.
The holiday honors the labor rights activist and co-founder of United Farm Workers. Chavez died in 1993 at age 66. State offices, including the DMV and Superior Courts, are closed, and the LA County Board of Supervisors has planned a week-long series of community service events in honor of Chavez. LA County employees have been given half a day off to volunteer at area parks, libraries, animal shelters, and other organizations. The county is also launching a two-week food drive with the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank. LA area students of all ages commemorated the day by cleaning up the grounds around Chavez's gravesite. The Cesar Chavez Foundation will host a walk and festival on Saturday on Olvera Street in downtown L.A. Janelle Burdett, Annenberg Radio News.
All across Los Angeles today, people are remembering civil rights and labor leader Cesar Chavez. Earlier today, I spoke with Liba Guest, the director of the Museum of Tolerance. She says Chavez left a profound legacy.
Cesar Chavez is the leader of the national movement that brought to light the awareness of the abysmal conditions of farm workers. He is a legend in the Latino civil rights movement for promoting civic engagement, values of respect and responsibility, for organizing communities, for organizing labor unions, and working with the power of numbers and the passion of people to effectively bring to the national consciousness the conditions under which farm workers were working, intolerable conditions, and to try to improve their lot in life.
What does his legacy mean to California and the Los Angeles region?
His legacy is an extraordinary legacy, and it teaches us everything we need to know about leadership, about human dignity, about civic engagement, and about values. He also leaves a message that one person can make an enormous difference. He was able to galvanize millions and millions of Americans to boycott grapes, for example. This is a legacy that is so real to us. It really is the showcase of the spirit of hope and service that our country right now needs. In fact, President Obama, in his election campaign, borrowed the phrase, si se puede, that comes straight out of the farm workers' struggle.
Yes, I was actually going to ask you, because si se puede and yes, we can is a very significant chant.
You know where it actually happened? We heard with Dolores Huerta, who worked alongside Cesar Chavez, tells a story that it was her mother, Dolores Huerta, who actually coined the phrase. And it happened in 1972, I believe, when she was in Arizona trying to help farm workers organize there. And they told her that in California they somehow had been able to do it, but in Arizona they just aren't organized, they don't have the numbers, and we can't do it. And her response to them instantaneously was, si se puede, yes, we can. And that's how this whole battle cry began. And to this very day, epitomizes the courage, the confidence, the strength, and the will of all people.
Congressmen and community organizers are seeking a national holiday to remember Cesar Chavez. Why is a holiday or a celebration so important?
You know, we live in an age of celebrity. Here are heroes and celebrities who should be remembered and respected and revered for generations to come because they have made a mark on America that has made this a better country and has truly turned our dream to put the Constitution, to breathe life into the Constitution and to struggle towards civil rights for all a reality. The accomplishments, the legacy of someone like Cesar Chavez is so much a part of the history of which we can all be rightly proud. It should be celebrated and recognized in our country, and there need to be occasions where we stop and reflect.
Thank you so much. Today we've been speaking with Liba Guest, the Director of Museum of Tolerance. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
AwNuts. If you were thinking about having any pistachios, think again. The FDA says there's been a salmonella outbreak. A California-based pistachio company is recalling more than 2 million pounds of the roasted nuts. This comes after months of warnings about peanuts being infected with the bacteria. But the FDA says the contamination of the two different nuts are not related. It could take weeks to figure out how many pistachio products are infected. Now we check in with Ned Dannenberg to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Ned, I heard that you have an update on the hit-and-run story. I know AT Van's been working really hard on this one.
Yeah, Brooke. There, of course, we'll have more on the reward for information being offered by the County Board of Supervisors. And this afternoon, we've also talked to a suite mate of Andriana Bachen. We'll have more tonight on how she's remembering a good friend.
I heard you had a puppy in the AT Van studio today. What's going on with the puppy?
That's a little bit on the lighter side. A producer brought by a new member of their family, but also tonight we'll have a story about the recession and how it's affecting pets.
Thanks, Ned. that's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Dina Diaz, Ryan Nunez, Jean-Luc Renault, and Richie Duchon. Tim Wirth is our producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins.